Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call of DCM Shriram Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Rangnekar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on DCM Shriram Limited's quarter four and FY22 earnings conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Ajay Shriram, Chairman and Senior Managing Director, Mr. Vikram Shriram, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ajay Shriram, Joint Managing Director, Mr. K.K. Kaul, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Amit Agarwal, CFO of the company. We will begin the call with comments from the management, including Mr. Ajay Shriram and Mr. Vikram Shriram. Members of the audience will get an opportunity to pose their queries to the management following these comments during the interactive question and answer session. Before we commence, please note that some of the statements made on today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and a note to that effect has been included in the conference call invite circulated earlier. I would now like to invite Mr. Ajay Shriram to give us a brief overview on the company's performance and his views going forward. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Siddharth. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our fourth quarter and annual earnings conference call for financial year 2022. Trust each of you and your families are keeping safe and are in good health. I will focus my thoughts on the strategic aspects of the business and the operating environment, and Vikram will share notable highlights of our performance. We are pleased to report robust set of numbers during the quarter and for the year as a whole. The operating environment was challenging in terms of high input costs and supply chain disruptions. This was managed well by our businesses, and we have steady operations supported by higher product prices and demand. Chlorovinyl, Fenesta, and Shriram Farm Solutions businesses performed better. However, Sugar and Bioseed India business had lower earnings. Our capital expenditure plans for chemicals and sugar aggregating to about rupees 3,300 crores are progressing well and will be commissioned within the next 12 months. These will drive augmentation in capacities, value addition through forward integration, and cost optimization. There are cost increases led by increase in metals and cement prices. However, we have reconfigured the projects to ensure that expected returns remain reasonably strong. Further, our board has approved new projects amounting rupees 92 crores in Shriram Farm Solutions, Fenesta, and chemicals business at our board meeting 3 days ago. These investments will position the business favorably for the long term with enhanced scale of business, making them stronger and competitive and enabling future growth. We expect our balance sheet to remain healthy during the current CapEx cycle as well as going forward. I would now like to take you through the business-wise key developments. Chemicals. Global industry has witnessed regional output imbalances over the past year, resulting from factors like hurricanes in the U.S., dual control policy in China, and COVID-19. USA and China have seen healthy recoveries in the recent past. However, there are some near-term supply disruptions expected as a result of the lower operating rates in the U.S. and COVID-19 in China. Geopolitical factors have driven the energy prices significantly higher and are expected to remain firm in the near term. Q4 financial year 2022 saw the average import prices of caustic soda again going up to over $700 per metric ton, post seeing some softening in December 2021 and January 2022. Higher input costs were outweighed by higher product prices, and we expect similar trends going forward, at least in H1 financial year 2023. However, the margins, there is a little degree of uncertainty. Domestic demand has seen steady build-up during the financial year 2022. Our capacity utilization levels have improved over the years from 84% in Q1 to 97% in Q4. Caustic demand is expected to remain stable. However, chlorine was oversupplied during the Q4 and continues to be impacted in the ongoing quarter. There are significant capacity additions of almost 1 million metric tons in the next 12 to 15 months, which may have an impact on capacity utilization levels as well as on domestic prices. The good thing this year has been that exports has picked up a lot, and exports witnessed a 45% increase to 2.9 lakh metric tons from 2 lakh metric tons in financial year 21. We expect that exports will gain further momentum in the coming year. I may mention that in our chlorovinyl, in our chemicals business, our value-added projects and expansion projects are moving well. Our aluminum chloride expansion, putting up the plant for ECH, putting up a new plant for H2O2, our power plant, additional power plant will be commissioned in the second quarter this year, and our caustic soda expansion of 850 metric tons per day is expected to be commissioned by first quarter of next year. Vinyls. Momentum and demand has remained strong domestically and globally, given the gains in consumption levels post-easing of COVID-19, led by the construction industry. Pricing of PVC has been stable at around US$1,550 after softness seen in the November 21 to Jan 22. Global supplies are getting restored and demand expected to get impacted by increase in interest rates, especially in the US, which may impact the product prices. India PVC prices are driven by the global prices, as almost 55% of India's demand is met by imports. Cost of key inputs is expected to remain firm in the coming months as well. The current geopolitical situation has led to an environment remaining volatile. Sugar. Domestic sugar production estimate for sugar season 21-22 is 35 million tons after considering diversion of 3.5 million tons of sugar into ethanol. With exports expected at highest ever levels of about 9 million tons and consumption of 27.2 million tons, the closing stock of sugar by the season end is expected to come down to around 7 million tons from 8.3 million tons last season. The higher sugar production is due to the higher yields and sugar recovery in states of Maharashtra and Karnataka. With the higher production in India and Thailand, global prices are expected to remain balanced. Our mills closed during the third week of April 22. Crushing days worked out at 163 days versus 162 days in sugar season 21. Total cane crushed during the sugar season 22 was 549 lakh quintals versus 553 lakh quintals during sugar season 21. Recoveries on final molasses came in at 11.3% versus 11.7%, driven by late rains in the region. There is a need for strengthening the policy support for UP sugar industry, given that mills in Maharashtra and Karnataka have advantage in terms of lower sugar cane costs and proximity to the port. These two factors make it more viable for them to produce cane juice-based ethanol as well as to export. We diverted about 33 lakh quintals of sugar cane during the season to produce cane juice-based ethanol. However, returns were lower than sugar. This year, availability of C-heavy molasses was low, leading to higher prices and hence lower margins on ethanol from purchased molasses. Overall, the sugar diverted through cane juice and B-heavy molasses stood at 11.4 lakh quintals versus 7 lakh quintals last season. Prices of ethanol during the current ethanol season were higher, reflecting continued government support and commitment to the blending target of 20% by 2025. Our stated capital expenditure projects in sugar business are on track and are expected to be commissioned by Q3 of financial year 23. Agri inputs. The segment comprises Shriram Farm Solutions, Bioseed and Fertilizer businesses. Shriram Farm Solutions delivered strong growth in the year as a whole, driven by wheat seed and specialty nutrition products despite climatic changes. With the country looking at a normal monsoon this year, the demand for key inputs looks healthy. We are geared to optimally drive sales of value-added inputs and research-based varieties in order to support this performance trend. We are now proposing to develop manufacturing capabilities in value-added agri-input businesses to enable continuous growth. To begin with, we shall start manufacturing water-soluble fertilizers and biologicals at Kota in Rajasthan. Bioseed has a limited season in Q4. If you look at financial year 22, Bioseed Philippines witnessed good performance with growth in paddy and cotton segment. Indian industry and our business witnessed lower volumes. This year, we have worked on revitalizing our Bioseed India business by making structural changes in terms of management structure, aggressively clearing up slow-moving inventory, building renewed sales and quality focus. These efforts, along with expected good response on new products launched and strong product line, will help the business turn around over the next 2 years. In fertilizer business, natural gas prices have seen unprecedented increase throughout the year, and they continue to rise. The gas prices during the quarter have increased to US$19.3 per MMBTU from US$8.9 per MMBTU in the Q4 last year. Current prices are at US$22.6 MMBTU. Subsidy outstandings as on 31st March 22 stood at ₹435 crores vis-a-vis ₹153 crores as on 31st March 21. Fenesta, the business is witnessing good growth. The market size for UPVC windows is increasing and so is the competition. We have set up additional fabrication unit in Bhubaneswar to improve our coverage in the eastern market. We have increased our capacity as well as product portfolio to continue the growth momentum. Today, Fenesta is present in 180 cities of India and all 28 states with 6 union territories. It has sales presence in 3 countries apart from India. Ladies and gentlemen, if I look at the business environment today, it has become quite uncertain and fast-changing, especially since the onset of COVID-19 and geopolitical issues. It requires us to have higher level of digitalization, efficient operations with scale and value add, along with strong balance sheet. We are investing in growth with the focus on these parameters. With this, I would now request Vikram to take you through the financial highlights. Vikram, over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I will take you through the financial highlights of our Q4 and financial year 22 results. During the quarter, net revenues came in at ₹2,796 crores versus ₹2,191 crores in Q4 financial year 21, up 28% year-on-year. This growth was driven by strong performance across chemicals, vinyls, farm solutions, fertilizers, and Fenesta businesses. Chemicals business grew by 144% year-on-year to ₹865 crores, led by increased realizations and higher volumes. Higher prices had a positive impact of ₹437 crores on the revenues. Vinyl business too recorded a healthy growth of 9% year-on-year in revenues, driven by higher prices. Fenesta business continues to record healthy numbers, with revenues up by 30% year-on-year, driven by project volumes and better margins. The order book also has a strong improvement of 36% year-on-year. Chlorovinyl and Fenesta businesses have also benefited from steady build-up in demand in the current year, reflected in improved sentiments post-easing of COVID-19. The sugar business revenues for Q4 financial year 22 were lower by 26% year-on-year at 756 55 crores. This is net of excise duty of rupees 77 crores on country liquor sales. While the domestic sugar and distillery volumes were stable, overall revenues were impacted on account of lower export volumes due to removal of subsidy and non-allocation of quota. Fertilizer revenues were up 108% year-on-year, driven by higher prices and higher volumes. Prices were up 90% year-on-year due to higher energy prices, which is a pass-through. Volumes were higher by 12% year-on-year. Coming to profitability, in Q4 financial year 22, PBDIT stood at rupees 663 crores, higher by 69% year-on-year, supported by chemicals, fenesta and fertilizer segments. Chemicals PBDIT was up 5 times at rupees 369 crores, primarily led by better margins due to higher product prices and higher volumes. Both power and salt prices continued to be high, which were more than offset by better product prices. Fertilizer PBDIT came in at rupees 20 crores versus rupees 4 crores during same period last year, led by higher volumes and better energy efficiency and energy saving rate. Fenesta PBDIT was up 2 times at rupees 32 crores, driven by higher volumes in project segments and better margins. Sugar PBDIT was down 19% year-on-year at rupees 193 crores, due to lower volumes and higher input costs. Bioseed PBDIT stood at negative rupees 50 crores versus negative rupees 38 crores due to India operations getting impacted by lower volumes, higher inventory provision, and cleaning up of the business balance sheet and PL account and restructuring of the business, as discussed a little earlier. Let me also share some of the performance for financial year 22, for the full financial year 22. Revenues were up 16% year-on-year at rupees 9,627 crores, mainly driven by chlorovinyl, fertilizer, farm solutions and fenesta segments. Chlorovinyl and fenesta growth were driven by both prices and volumes. Chlorovinyl and fenesta businesses in Q1 financial year 21 were impacted by the pandemic and lockdown due to COVID-19, resulting in loss of production leading to lower sales. Fertilizer business revenues were driven by higher gas prices, which are a pass-through. FFS revenues were driven by growth in wheat seeds and specialty nutrition. Sugar segment revenues were down primarily due to lower volumes. Sugar volumes down by 41% year-on-year. Exports as well as domestic volumes were lower due to the regulatory framework. Ethanol volumes were lower by 4% year-on-year due to lower availability of seed molasses in the open market and maintenance shutdown in Q3 financial year 22. Bioseed revenues were lower, impacted by lower volumes in the India operations. Bioseed Philippines revenues were higher by 12% year-on-year, driven by corn and paddy. PBDIT for financial year 22 stood at rupees 1,888 crores versus rupees 1,244 crores last year, primarily led by strong performance in chemicals, vinyls, fenesta, farm solutions and fertilizer businesses. Sugar business margin percentage were better than last year. However, profits reduced due to lower export volumes and lower availability of seed heavy molasses in the market. Bioseed India business had losses because of lower volumes, which was an industry-wide scenario, and higher industry provisioning and cleaning up. Our direct tax payout was rupees 264 crores, versus the current tax charged on the PL account of rupees 488 crores as a result of MAT credit available. The board recommended a final dividend of rupees 245% amounting to rupees 76 crores. Total dividend for the year is thus 735%, amounting to rupees 229 crores. On the balance sheet side, net debt as on 31st March 22 was negligible or nearly zero. Capital employed, net of capital work in progress and liquid investments, came in at rupees 5,067 crores versus 4,637 crores for financial year 21. ROCE for the period came in at 35% versus 20% for March 21. Overall, on a full year basis, our performance, despite several macro challenges and input cost pressures, has been quite resilient. We have reported strong growth across our key segments. On the whole, we have a robust balance sheet position and strong financial profile, which will allow us to continuously invest in growth to continue to add to shareholder value for the years to come. This brings me to the end of the financial discussion, and we will be happy to take questions that you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. This is Pratiksha here.
Good afternoon.
My first question is for the chemicals division. So, just wanted to understand, are we expecting our aluminium chloride capacity to come up in this quarter itself?
The additional capacity?
Yeah, the new additional capacity, yes.
No. Additional capacity is about 850 tons a day, and that is expected to come up in this end of this financial year.
So all our downstream products will come by end.
To add to your question, Priya, is that we are putting up an additional power plant also. That power plant is expected to be commissioned in the second quarter of this financial year. Yeah.
Okay. And what kind of cost escalations are we seeing in the total project cost for the chemical division? I think the presentation mentioned that we are seeing some costs going up there.
That's right. Amit, you want to please give that?
Yeah. See, the number that we've given, 3,300 crores as the current project cost, that includes, you know, whatever escalations that we're anticipating. But if I give you a sense of cost escalations, The cost escalations on account of higher commodity prices will be in the range of around 25%. And then there will be, because as was mentioned by the CMD in his speech, that we have also reconfigured the project to ensure that this increase in project cost does not lead to significant reduction in returns. So that would have added another 10% where we have gone ahead and done the reconfiguration. For example, if you remember the caustic project, which was already a 700 TPD, now is about 850 TPD. And similarly, in some other projects, we have done some changes to ensure that the returns are healthy.
Okay, got it. Also, if you could elaborate on your plans with ECH, because I understand that one of our peers would be commissioning their plant sometime soon, and another peer has already announced. So how does the India demand-supply dynamics play by with so much of capacity, and how do we see, you know, ensuring our returns on ECH?
Amit?
Yeah. So see, the Indian demand is about 80 to 85 kilotons per annum. Now the two projects which are essentially for sale, in a sense, we're going to sell externally. The other ones are more of internal consumption. Is what is coming with Make Money and what we are bringing in, which will add up to close to about 1 lakh kilotons per annum. However, this sector is also growing at 10%. So my sense is that by the time the two projects come in, we should be nearing about 100 kilotons per annum as the demand in the country. And therefore, the exports, the imports which are happening today, which is almost 100% imported, that will reduce drastically. And probably we should be exporting a little bit as well. But largely, I think we will become self-sufficient. I don't see any significant surplus coming into the country as of now.
Okay. And if you could elaborate a little bit on the outlook of our plastic division, especially with respect to realizations, given that, you know, we've seen the peak prices in October, November, how do we see this, going ahead?
Okay.
Yeah, we expect that the prices now today are around $1,550, so we expect this prices to remain in this kind of a range only, largely because of the production shutdowns being taken in many Asian and European plants, and also the consumption's growing, also growing particularly in India and outside. So we don't see any softening of prices, but we expect it to be around with few dollars up and down around 1550.
Okay, that helps. My next question is on sugar division. If you could just give us whether we've contracted any exports so far, and also how do we, like, I just wanted to understand between the three quarters in which the crushing goes on, how does the cost of production vary between the three? Considering that, you know, we have one quarter where full crushing is going on and the two quarters where there's partial days.
Ajit?
Amit, take it.
Yeah. So see, essentially, I would say the peak crushing happens in Q3 and Q4, right? And then in Q1, as rightly said, it is partial crushing. So it all depends on the recovery, the way recovery moves. It is difficult to give you a number, but yes, what happens is in Q3, the cost of production would be higher, given the fact that recoveries to begin with are lower. And in Q4 and part of the Q1, which is, let's say, April types, then the cost of production is lower, given that the recoveries are better. But so the way we look at it is what is the total cost of production for the season, is how we look at it.
So, okay. So is it fair to say that Q4 number is representative of what the cost of production would be for the whole season?
Pardon me, can you repeat?
The cost of production that we've seen now, which is 33 rupees, would it be possible to, would it be representative of the cost for the whole season?
Yes.
Okay. And how much have we exported, so like contracted for exports so far?
This season, I think, if I remember correctly, would be about 2 lakh quintals is what we've exported or about to export. So it's in that kind of range.
Okay. And at what price would we have valued our inventory in Q4 versus and also last quarter?
So I don't remember the number of December, but for March, we have valued the inventory at 33.2 rupees per kg or 33.1 rupees per kg.
Okay. Also, now one question I had about how do we go about deciding our mix between cane and B-heavy. And I think we've taken a call that for C-heavy, we are procuring our molasses from outside, which seems to be impacting our profitability. So just wanted to understand thought process here.
See, there's a couple of points that we need to understand here. One, see, my distillery capacity at 350 KLD is about 15-20% higher than what I crush, right? Or what I can manufacture on BAB basis. Let's put it this way, right?
Okay.
So I'm a little over-optimized, and the objective at that point of time when we had set up this capacity was that we will, have during the off-season, we should be able to procure molasses from the market and optimize the profitability, which we have been doing. So in terms of mix, I don't think there is any suboptimal mix that we are doing. We optimize B-heavy, so we run maximum operations on B-heavy. And then whatever is the shortfall, because we have a higher capacity, the intent is to use purchase molasses from C-heavy, from the market, right? Which we did not get this time because the prices were too high and the availability was low. Now, in terms of our planning, how do we hedge that going forward? One is, since we are putting up a grain-based distillery, and wherein the grain attachments were of a higher quantity. So we are putting up to 60 KLD grain attachments, whereas the distillation capacity there will be 120. So we should be able to manage this shortfall to some extent, although not fully, but to some extent we should be able to manage with grain, right? That is point number one. Second, to answer your question on the mix in the cane juice part, see, cane juice was more of, like, you know, we wanted to hedge our sugar prices at, you know, it breaks even at around 34-50, as the equivalent sugar price. So the objective of doing this was to hedge the sugar price. That is one. Secondly, what also it enables is that since I'll be manufacturing BAB also around that time, when I'm manufacturing cane juice-based ethanol, there was this BAB comes in as inventory, which I can use it during the off-season, right? So probably it is shifting of profit to the next year, right? But I think what we also learned during the process is probably, you know, CAB, cane juice-based ethanol may not be the best mix. To some extent, we realize that, but then we will keep taking calls depending on what we feel the market is around that time. But that's the limited, you know, we crush about 33 lakh quintals only out of total 550 lakh quintals that we crush. Only about
Right.
33 lakh quintals we crush for cane juice. So that's the mix. I think we keep optimizing the mix as we see, you know, how do we optimize to get the best returns.
Got it.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question at this time. The next question is from the line of Amit Madha from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir.
Hi.
My first question is regarding the CapEx part. So earlier in press release, we mentioned a number about 3,300 crores. If I look at our old press release and the announcement, the number is a little less than 3,000 crores. So is it fair to assume that the entire incremental CapEx is because of the whatever inflation we are seeing in steel and cement?
As I mentioned a while back, what you said is absolutely right, that this is an increased number. So this increase, as I mentioned, almost about 25% would be on account of increase in the commodity prices, and around 10% would be on account of reconfiguration.
Okay. So any.
Just add that, you know, what I also mentioned, 92 crores additionally, which was approved by the board 4 days ago, that is not included in this total of 3,300 crores.
Okay. Got it. And any increase in capacity related to what we had earlier planned in any of the products?
Amit?
Yeah. So in case of caustic soda, where we had planned 700 TPD and we had planned a 500 TPD flaker, now we are going with 600 TPD flaker and 850 TPD caustic capacity.
Okay. Got it. Got it. And all these capacities regarding caustic as well as the downstream will come by Q4 FY23.
Between Q4 FY23 and Q1 FY24. So between these two quarters, you will have all the capacities coming in.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. Second question is regarding the chlorovinyl business profitability. So we are talking about a lot of energy inflation between Q3 and Q4, but we have retained the profitability. Rather, we have increased the profitability. So is it because of any change in fuel mix or we had lower coal cost inventory or anything? Can you just give some highlight on that?
I just compare quarter-on-quarter, I mean, quarter this year versus quarter last year. See, realizations are up by almost 118%. Whereas if I see my cost in chemicals, that is ballpark, my cost is up by almost 55%-60%. So that is what is leading to increase in margins.
Can you explain quarter-on-quarter? Because quarter-on-quarter realization are about.
What I'm trying to say is quarter this year versus quarter same period last year. Q4 last year versus Q4 current year.
Yeah, but can you explain from Q3 to Q4?
Q3 to Q4, price increase would be more or less the same, about 4%-5% price increase. And if I look at my cost increase, would be just give me a second. Actually, costs have actually come down a little bit.
Yeah, so that is what I want to understand. What has driven the lower cost?
So, I see what had also happened, if you remember, even the power cost, right, the gold cost, everything had zoomed in the Q3. Right, and then there was some softening which we did see in the month of December and January, where the power costs also came down. So I think that led to lower overall cost.
Got it. So going into Q1 FY23, is it fair to assume there will be some increase in cost, or we'll retain at this level?
So it's early. I don't have the number right now, but it should not go down definitely. It should either be the same or increase a little bit.
Okay, got it. Okay. And just on the biosheds business, so can you just give some, we have mentioned about the restructuring in the management team, etc. So can you just elaborate on what changes we have done? And second thing, regarding the profitability, do we expect to do break even in FY23 on the biosheds business?
Okay.
Well, in terms of restructuring, you know, the seed business is something, when what you do is the results come in, take a couple of years to come in. So in terms of what, when we said about restructuring, was, you know, cleaning some of our old inventory, you know, doing provisioning for that. And also in terms of strengthening our market reach, our market approach. And I would say largely strengthening our product pipeline. And the product pipeline, the last 1 or 2 years, the new products have been good, but they also need to be taken right down to the, you know, market, to the farmers. So that's what we are strengthening. We are strengthening our connect with the farmers, and we expect that this year certainly our product acceptance has been very good. We have good products, and we are largely a corn and cotton and corn portfolio, which is a larger and paddy portfolio. And all these three, we are seeing an excellent response from the market, and we hope that this year certainly we should be breaking in, just about breaking in.
Got it. That is from my side. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neeraj Jimudia from Anvil Research. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, team.
Good afternoon.
Sir, with reference to the earlier participant call, so I was just doing some of the math. So if we see the increased ECU realization, which is like 2.5 rupees, and if we multiply it by 155,000 tons of volume, what we have reported, this translates to almost 37 crores. But what we have reported sequentially in terms of improvement in PBIT is around 82 crores. So was this because of some of the profits getting added through the value-added products? And if you can just explain those maths, that would be helpful, sir.
If you see my revenue in chemicals, which was 738 crores, and it went up to 865 crores in Q4. You're talking of quarter on quarter, right?
Yes.
And my profit went up from 286 to 369 crores.
Yeah.
So here, one, my realization, if you see, what I averaged, if I remember correctly, at around, was higher by about 2,500 rupees.
Yeah. Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And my cost, as I mentioned, has come down by about another 2,000 rupees.
Okay.
So that's the kind of delta which is there. So even, and even the volumes were higher.
Yeah.
If you look at our volumes, yeah, we were a little higher on overall volumes by about 15,000 tons more than what we did in Q3, because our utilization levels were higher. Q3, our utilization level was 87%. And in Q4, our overall utilization levels are 96%.
Correct.
So I think that also will add to the profitability.
Correct. And sir, if you can just break it down, our PBIT between the pure caustic business as well as the value-added business. So what you mentioned last quarter was like 10% of the PBIT was coming through our value-added products. So what was the mix this quarter?
More or less same, I would say. Nothing, because, nothing much has changed. The prices have remained more or less the same.
Okay.
So therefore, it remains the same.
Okay. And sir, my second question is on the chlorine side. So we are having a capacity of 1350 TPD of caustic, and now we are expanding it by almost 850. So in combined, after the expansion, we will be handling almost 2000 TPD of chlorine after the caustic expansion. So how do we use this chlorine, so in terms of, let's say, downstream products or sale to the merchant customers outside, or or the pipeline customers. So how do the mix would look like from the current utilization levels?
You know, what we are doing here is that one is, as I mentioned earlier, aluminum chloride capacity we are expanding.
Okay.
That will take up additional chlorine. ECH will take up additional chlorine. Yeah. And we already are supplying direct pipeline chlorine to 5 or 6 customers.
Okay.
So we are discussing with them to supply direct pipeline, increase that capacity by their expansions happening, which we are in touch with our customers. So that will also help us in liquidating and getting the chlorine out of our factory to be able to run at optimal capacities. And of course, the market itself is something which is chlorine in tunnels also is being sold. Plus, we are looking at some new products, which we've not yet taken 100% view on. We are looking at some more products which will also be chlorine users. So we are looking at the chlorine utilization also very actively. And that's how these 4-5 avenues are coming in for utilizing the chlorine.
Correct. But sir, how the mix would look like for our internal consumption of chlorine? So what is it is currently and when we'll take up the additional products? How the mix would look like?
Amit, would you know that?
Yeah, so see, currently if I see at Bharuch, so let's put it this way, Kota facility which has about 530 tons per day of caustic,
yeah.
That is almost 40% of consumption is captive there.
Mm-hmm.
Now at Bharuch site, which is currently 1,350 tons per day, there if I exclude hydrogen hydrochloric acid, right, so then my captive is around 4-4.5%.
Okay.
And I supply 40% through pipeline.
Okay.
Now, this 4%, after the aluminum chloride coming in and ECH coming in,
yeah,
this should jump to around 15% of the total expanded capacity.
Okay.
Right. And this 40%, what we are supplying to the industries nearby, we expect this to increase because they are also expanding their capacity. So their volume should also increase. So I think that's the kind of mix that we will have. And the rest will be through tunnels in the market.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. It was very informative and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehrwan Kotwal from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
So I have some questions on the chemicals business. So firstly, what is our reading of the overall caustic soda market currently? Because on one hand, current realization seem to be fairly firm. But on the other hand, we also have this looming threat of a lot of capacity coming in over the next 12 to 15 months, as you correctly pointed out in your initial remarks. So are we seeing probably the recent high prices as being peak, or do we see further upsides in prices also possible as we move ahead? Second question is that how do we see this extra capacity getting absorbed? So are we seeing much better traction in exports, especially what's happening in Europe currently? And do we also see the industry adhering to some kind of discipline with respect to capacity utilization?
Okay, I'll answer. See, caustic soda demand, as of now, it's growing at a regular, what's been growing about 5-6% a year. So that's moving quite stable and moving ahead. And a couple of the additional plants which are coming up, for instance, Grasim, etc., they have a lot of it for their captive use. So that's some of the material is going to go in over there. So that's not all going to come to the market. And factually speaking, we have seen in commodity business of any type, you move in a step ladder type of a thing. You know, when the prices are good, when the market is good, new capacity comes in, then it stabilizes over a year or 2 years. It runs that way for 2-3 years, then it moves up again. Good thing is the Indian economy is growing, and I think the demand is going at 5-6%. Secondly, the international prices are quite stable. As I mentioned earlier, that the exports of caustic soda have jumped up by almost 50% this year, 55% compared to last year. We expect the prices to keep, the exports to keep going up more and more of caustic soda lye and flakes, both. That's why, for instance, in our case, we are putting up 850 tons lye capacity, but we are also expanding 600 tons flakes capacity. So that gives us flexibility to move ahead. And what is also good to see is if you read that aluminium capacity is going up in the country. Vedanta is increasing their capacity. There are all these plants which are large users of caustic soda. So overall, we see that a commodity of this type, product of this type, little supply-demand mismatch happens occasionally. But as a longer-term basis, it is a primary requirement for any economic growth. And we are wanting to be a good player at it with a larger capacity. Our cost of production is lower. Our efficiencies are better. And with the new power plant coming in, again, our cost of power will come down compared to our older power plants. And technology, we are getting world-class. So we will be competitive across the board. And we are quite positive on the outcome of this expansion.
Right. Just a follow-up on this expansion. So we see coming up with 3. Will the entire...
I'm sorry, we can't hear you. We can't hear you.
Mr. Kotwal, your audio is not very clear.
Yeah, so we will be coming with 850 TPD expansion.
Yeah.
In 1QFY24, will this entire expansion be one shot or will we be like commissioning the unit in phases?
No, it will be actually commissioned in phases, means over a period of 2-3 months it will be commissioned. We are putting up the whole thing together.
Oh,
we are not breaking it. We are putting up the entire 850 tons. That is the full expansion capacity which we are installing.
Right, sir. Right, sir. So just a couple of questions. What the unit cost of power be for the current quarter?
I think, you know, the unit cost of power is something which is flexible because of the international prices of coal. Coal prices have gone up, which has created a lot of disturbance in the price of power. I don't remember the price now. But of course, the price has gone up because coal prices have gone up 2-3 times. Freight has become an issue. I mentioned a little earlier, what is the price of gas? Gas price is going up. So we are also optimally seeing and sourcing our coal from anywhere in the world, and we have an advantage. We have a tie-up also with the HECL, Coal India. We get coal from there also. So we are optimizing our sourcing of coal across the board.
And finally, what would our current realizations be as compared to the average which we achieved last quarter on an ECU basis? Better?
Amit, you will have that.
Yeah, so see, current for our Bharuch plant, the realizations would be in the range of around, ECU would be in the range of around 49,000-50,000. And for our Kota plant, it will be a little lower.
A little lower, but it's still better than what we did last quarter.
Yeah, 1,000-2,000 rupees better, yes.
Great, sir. Thank you so much. Those are all the questions from my side.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anurag Patil from Groha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, in our cotton seed business, can you share your view on the issue of illegal cotton seeds for this season?
Okay.
Well, it's very difficult to estimate how much it is, but the industry reports that it's pretty high. It was pretty high last year, and it's likely to increase this year also. So, but the numbers I can't put, yes, it's affecting the overall cotton seed business, but, and it's growing. It's growing here, and the illegal HT cotton cultivation is growing. But the good thing is that the cotton crop itself, the acreage is growing because of the good cotton prices and good commodity prices. So there would be some effect of this illegal cotton, but that should be overcome more or less. Overcome and even bettered by the larger acreage of cotton.
Also, I'd like to add one more point on this. Vikram Sriram here regarding the cotton business. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Sure.
Yeah. So I was just saying that, you know, there was a standoff between Monsanto and the government for several years. And because of that, partly the illegal cotton came in and a lot of the problems in the industry took place. What is good is that since last year, there has been some better understanding. Monsanto was bought over by Bayer. And there seems to have been some better understanding because Bayer has filed for approval of newer varieties of GM. So hopefully that looking in the future, there will be some this illegal cotton and other things. It's not going to be an immediate solution. But as there is some understanding between Bayer and the government and some newer genetics gets approved, Hopefully, the future scenario, this confusion and the legal business will come down.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah, dhanyawad sir for this opportunity. KK sir, as you were mentioning, the ECU realization post the March exit is up by 2000 rupees. Am I correct on that front?
Approximately, yes.
Okay, and there, it was in the vicinity of 49,000 for March, for the month of March.
For the month of March, you don't know only for the month of March?
If you could provide us, sir, for the month of March.
I don't have it upfront.
Yeah, I don't think.
Okay. But for the average price, average is up by 2,000 rupees. That is what.
Yes.
And there has been an increase in the cost part also, cost element for this quarter?
Yeah, as I mentioned, it should, because you know, we are only halfway into the quarter. We have to see how it pans out. The situation is dynamic. I don't see costs coming down. They might remain same or increase marginally.
Right, sir. And sir, how have been the closing spread currently, sir? And for the last quarter, how was the mix? Whether they were positive or negative?
Can you repeat the question?
I was asking for the chlorine prices, whether the chlorine spread were positive or negative.
Negative.
And how are they trending currently, sir?
So they continue to be negative.
Okay, sir. Sir, as we have seen that a lot of caustic soda also get imported in the country. So when we are speaking about export, could you please clarify, on a net basis for the last 12 months, what has been the movement of goods of caustic soda in the country on a net basis?
Yeah. So
I don't know if anyone, I don't think we have the figure of the imports. Do you have it, Amit?
Yes, sir. So, see, as mentioned by CND, the exports were about 3 lakh metric tons.
Yeah.
And imports are about 2 lakh metric tons.
Okay.
So imports have actually been coming down and exports have been going up.
Okay. So, sir, net, there is a gap of 1 lakh additional quantity has been exported.
Absolutely.
Okay, sir. And this has happened due to the capacity containment at China in particular, or because this scenario was very different post pre-COVID. A large quantity used to be imported to meet the demand of the country only.
See, there has been significant, you know, supply chain disruptions. What used to come from China was largely on the East Coast. The exports are happening primarily from the West Coast. Right, so I think it's also to do with disruptions that have happened in US and Europe, where they have not been able to supply, their gas prices have gone up, energy prices have gone up, therefore some of the plants have closed down capacities in Europe as well. So multiple reasons why these exports have gone up.
And sir, in the likelihood, this scenario is not going to change in a jiffy right now. The scenario changes in the next quarter or even two quarters down the line. This is the new capacities or the curtailment will not come up. New capacities globally are coming up, sir, in the near future, in 1 year time, any new facility?
Globally, we are not seeing any new capacity coming up. Rather, we are seeing capacities coming down. And therefore, as CMD mentioned, that we do see exports going up further in this financial year.
Okay, sir. And what have been our export number for this year, sir, as a percentage of sale and volume also?
I won't have that number right away.
Correctly, I think our company exported about 45,000 tons of caustic soda.
Okay, sir. And taking into account the current scenario, sir, we have any plan or it depends on the market dynamics, when to get the better price?
It's a dynamic situation, but we are very aware and open to exports. And we expect that export this year will be more than last year.
Right, sir. So coming to the seed business part, sir, as being articulated by the management that steps are in the anvil and we have projected a roadmap for 2 years down the line wherein things would look very different. So just to have an understanding on the thought process, what kind of working capital requirement and is required to run the business on an annual basis, and when we are going to grow this business going forward, what would be the future requirement?
Amit, can you take this?
Yes, sir. see, the total capital employed in the business is close to about 400 crores in the bioseed business. Now, in terms of growth, you see, we'll have to keep a very very close watch. Generally, the ballpark is, you know, in terms of, if I took a look at my capital employed to revenue, it will be around 1 to 1.2 times, right? And essentially, because, you know, when we look at capital employed, you look at the year end, and on the year end, you have to actually stock for the entire next year's sales, right, or the season sales, and essentially biofeed has season for Kharif. Therefore, capital employed is high at the year end, although average will be lower. And I don't see it significantly rising, at least in the near term.
Right, right. And the last point is on the investment in mutual funds, when the treasury book. What is the size of the book? I missed the number as on 31st March.
So as on 31st March, our total investment, not necessarily mutual funds, it is a mix of mutual fund and fixed deposits. It will be close to about 1500 crores.
Okay. And for this year, what will be the capex, sir, the amount to be spent for FY23?
For this year, ballpark would be close to about 2500 crores.
2500, and that will be totally from the internal accruals and the treasury book only? Or are we expecting any borrowing to take place?
We will take some borrowings.
Okay, and so currently, what is the cost of fund we are anticipating, or do we have any arrangement as such for the long-term borrowing, which is undrawn?
No, we don't have any undrawn facilities right now, but out of our total gross debt of about 1500 crores, almost about 1000 crores is long-term.
Thank you. I would request Mr. Kapoor to rejoin the queue for follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you again for the opportunity. Just wanted to confirm one thing that you mentioned, that for break-even between sugar and ethanol based out of juice, the number is 34 rupees, right? 34 rupees 50 paisa. That's what you mentioned, right?
Right.
So at, like, our current realization for sugar were 34.90, and so we've basically lost out on certain opportunity, right?
Which is true. So which is the call that one takes, you know, as I said, it's a call that one has to take at the beginning of the season, that yes, we would like to hedge sugar at a particular price, right, expecting whether it will go up or go down. So we did hedge it at 34.5.
Okay, okay. So going ahead, since crushing will, like going ahead, I think the mix be heavy would be higher considering crushing will, crushing has ended right now.
Yeah, I mean, majority of the ethanol would be heavy waste.
Got it. Understood. Also, just one question on Fenesta. So, do we have any margin differential when for, you know, project segment versus retail segment?
Yes, the retail segment will have higher margins vis-a-vis the project segment.
Okay. And are we facing any input cost pressures in this segment as well? How do we see margins, like what would be stable margins going ahead in Fenesta business?
Yeah, so we do see stable margins in this business going forward. And largely we have been able to pass on the cost to the consumer.
Okay. So
there can be a lag effect because, you know, you take the orders, you execute over a period of time and then cost increases happen. But then largely we have been able to maintain the margins.
So FY22 is sustainable?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's my share. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aseem Bharde from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just had a couple of questions on the PVC supply situation. So firstly, if you could just comment on global PVC capacity addition, what can be expected in the next 2 to 3 years, and if you could give a similar outlook for the domestic side.
Okay.
Yep. Well, as far as global capacities are concerned, I don't have the numbers as of now, but we don't see any significant capacity coming in at least in the next year. But in terms of domestic capacities, some capacities have been announced, and when they are likely to come up, at least the next 1 year, I don't see them coming up. Maybe later.
Okay, so on the domestic front, basically it is status quo. So I think even in the last quarter, most industry players said that there have been announcements, but no work has happened. So is that the same case right now?
That's right. There have been announcements, but no work has happened.
Achha. Okay, sure. And on the recent PVC price weakness, could industry lockdowns in Shanghai and the other industrial zones there, could those have played a part?
To an extent, yes, because the industry lockdown in China, there have been some pressures coming from the Chinese material coming into India. But we also seen that it's not very significant. You know, the domestic consumption is also going up. And the imports from other Asian sources, premium sources like Formosa and all that are also coming down because of some planned shutdowns that they are likely to take in this quarter. And the material from US is also not coming down. There still are bottlenecks in terms of the freight and container issues. So, well, there is some temporary impact being made by the Chinese material, but we don't. It's not very significant.
So, I guess assuming that these lockdowns go away over there, that should ideally drive consumption and hence higher PVC prices maybe in the next 6 months.
That's right. So, their own consumption should go up and we should see them also not offering prices which are lower than the current market price.
Okay. Because I think one of the large pipe manufacturers had mentioned that they expect PVC prices to fall from now to July given the PVC import bookings that they have seen so far. But as per you, I think you would expect this to be very near-term thing. And as you had commented earlier, max a few dollars up and down, but prices should hold if not rise.
As I said, Chinese quantity which had offered lower prices to as low as $1,370 to $1,400. Not a very significant quantities which can impact the overall. And the consumption, as mentioned, is next quarter or so, the consumption in India should also grow, which has been less than the pre-COVID time. So this is also likely to go up and it's growing up now.
When you say next quarter, are you talking about this quarter, Q1?
At least this quarter, I'm sure. Next quarter, I hope it would be on the similar lines, but I can't be exactly sure about commenting on Q2.
Sure, sir. But still, you have seen at least some demand improvement on PVC consumption in India, at least for the month of April. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming you have some clarity on the month of May as well.
Actually, generally, these are the seasonal months for the PVC consumption to grow. Before the monsoons, it does grow because the pipes, you know, picks up large quantities, the pipe manufacturers.
Got it. Okay. Thanks for answering my questions. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Vignesh Iyer, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers, considering the pricing pressures the industry faces. I would like to know about, sir, you told me, told one of the investors that the total capex would be around 2500 crores, right, for FY23?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, can you just give me a division of, how would this 2500 crores would be spent? Because the investor presentation only broadly gives about the projects that are approved. That's right.
Right. So, see, in chemicals, out of this 2500 crores, close to about... 2,200 crores will go into chemicals and rest will go into sugar.
So 2,200 crores for this 850 TPD, right?
No, so in chemicals, like we have four projects going on in chemicals. So we have ECH, we have H2O2, and we have caustic soda. So these three projects will take up maximum amount. And as far as power project is concerned, which is getting commissioned in Q2, a large part of the capex is already done. So about 100-150 crores is pending there. So I think, but large part of it, as I said, in terms of expenditure, will go into these three projects.
Okay, so H2O2, caustic soda, and the first one, what did you say?
ECH, epichlorohydrin.
Okay. And other...
I missed another project, which is aluminum chloride. That is, although that is a small project, that's about 100 crores. There also we have incurred close to about 25-26 crores we've already incurred. So that also will get spent.
Okay. So except chemicals, the rest is the 400 crores, right? 300-400 crores.
Which is sugar, yes.
Okay, sugar. Okay, right. Yeah. Thank you. Just I had only one question. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor & Company. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for this opportunity again. Just a request, sir, in your slide going forward, if you could mention for the caustic and PVC, the global capacities also, and what kind of utilization levels the global players are running, so we would have a better, further understanding of how the global market for both the commodities are have shaped up for the quarter.
We can do that. I think if you want, you can get in touch with our CFO and yes, we can give you the data.
Yes, sir. I will get the data, but for, if going forward in the presentation also, we can go ahead with it. So it would be for...
We'll have a look at that.
Yeah. Sir, currently, what is the installed capacity in our country for caustic soda and the addition for this year? And how are the utilization levels, the average utilization levels being for the last year?
So the current capacity that we have in the country is about, for chemicals, is about 4.8 million metric tons. That's for the caustic soda capacity in the country. And average utilization levels for the current financial year FY22 has been around 80%. And wherein the West has been around 90%.
Right, sir. And the additions which are going to happen for this year is around?
Yeah, so that's close to about, you know, about 900,000 metric tons. If you talk of this year, it should be around 800 to 900,000 metric tons.
Closer to 1 million.
Yeah, yeah.
1 million tons is expected to come up in the next about 14 to 15 months.
Okay, in a phased manner. And sir, and these capacities are also coming in the western coast only, or other part of the geography also?
It will be distributed. Yes, a large part will come in the west, but there are capacities coming in the east and some capacities are coming in north as well.
Correct.
Right. Sir, as you have told that there has been some capacity curtailment in the US, and also the freight, the higher freight price charges have also resulted in import being a non-viable option. So, if you could give some more color when these things get normalized, is it a capacity curtailment, a permanent part that has played out globally, or these can come up once the freight normalizes?
So, see, these are very dynamic, Saket. You know, how the things pan out going forward, how energy prices will move, how the freight will move. What will happen, so it's very difficult for commodities to comment on how it will pan out. But yes, one thing is sure, that there are no capacity additions happening globally. In India, the capacity additions are happening. And globally, caustic soda market is growing, chlorine market is growing. And therefore, there will be more exports happening from India.
Right. No, the capacities which have been shut down globally, have they been mothballed or are they shut down because of the higher energy and the higher logistic prices? That's not shaping up. So what are the reasons?
Now in US has happened because of they were a diaphragm based or mercury based, so they won't come back. But in Europe, I'm not too sure whether they'll come back or not, because a lot of shutdown has happened. Some capacities have shut down because of higher energy cost.
And can you specify the capacity by million ton? What have been the curtailment for Europe?
Europe, I don't have the exact number.
Right. So investors have always requested for having housing all the businesses under one roof, and if we see that it is the PVC part and the caustic soda as of now contributing to the max, to the highest of the revenue as well as profit. So going forward, taking into account the restructuring which we are looking into the seed business, and also the fertilizer business having its own, nuances, whether in respect to subsidies or the higher energy cost, can things now be contemplated with the increase in size from the contribution will or going to improve on increase only from the chemical segment? So can we look forward for a separate divisions going forward? Do you think that the time things are there that it could be looked into, sir?
You know, we keep debating, the board keeps considering various issues, but we have not taken any view of this as of now.
Right. Okay, sir. Thank you for the elaborate and candid answer, and all the best to the team, sir.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for supporting us and your continued presence on our Q4 and financial year 22 earnings conference call. We believe DCM Shriram will be poised towards realizing sustainable gains through well-executed capex, improved efficiencies, and better integration. The endeavor will be to drive our growth with a strong balance sheet and robust cash flow generation. I would also like to take this opportunity to thank you for joining us again, and I would also suggest please take care of yourselves and your family and follow all the precautionary advisory by the government, including proper vaccination. We wish you all good health and safety always. Thank you very much once again for joining us. Goodbye.
Thank you. On behalf of DCM Shriram Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.